Hey, what's up, guys? It's Jordan with the Laundromat Resource Podcast. This is show 74, and I'm pumped you're here today because today we're talking with Mark DuPont, and this is I think it's an instant classic, actually. Mark brings a ton of really good information. He's a multi-store owner in Florida, and he's doing pickup and delivery, and he's got a lot going on, but he has really immersed himself in this business and shares so much of what he has learned and what knowledge he's gained through doing that over the past few years. And I know you're going to get some good stuff out of it. So look forward to that. Real quickly, I want to get through a couple of quick things. Because a lot of cool stuff going on. But real quick, one of my favorite things that I've just started noticing fairly recently is that, first of all, we have a ton of new members. So welcome to everybody who's new at laundromatresource.com. Make sure you go introduce yourself in the introduction forums. But man, one of the things I've been dying about in a good way, laughing, is some of the profile pictures you guys have been uploading. I mean, there's some really, really hilarious ones. So keep up the funny. I love bringing the humor along with all the business stuff. So keep bringing that stuff. Really funny. I crack up at your profile pictures all the time. So make sure when you go sign up that you do fill out your profile there and, you know, use that as a tool to let people get to know you and also to connect and network with people. So keep up the good work on the hilarious profile pictures. My favorite so far, I think, has been the Batman mask. Cracking up at that one. man, so much fun. Okay. So, hey, we have an awesome event coming up this week that, this is October 19th is when this is coming out. This week, you've got to join us no matter kind of where you're at on the journey, whether you are looking to buy your first laundromat or maybe you own a laundromat and are looking long term with those laundromats, or you are getting ready to sell. There's a webinar that we're doing. It's free. It's live. I'm doing it with Andrew Cunningham, who is a human laundromat encyclopedia. We're doing a webinar together this Thursday, the 21st of October, 4:00. You can sign up at laundromatresource.com/events or just right on the homepage at laundromatresource.com on how to sell your laundromat for the most money. Now, you may not be looking to sell your laundromat right now or in the near future, or you may, but if you're not, or even if you don't own a laundromat yet, Andrew and I have talked a lot about this, and he has a lot of good advice on how, first of all, to buy correctly in order to be able to sell your laundromat for the most money, and then also how to operate your business that's going to set it up to be worth the most amount of money. So there's going to be a ton, you know, I mean, if Andrew Cunningham's going to be there, there's going to be a ton of great knowledge for everybody. So make sure you sign up for that one. Link is in the show notes at laundromatresource.com/show74. Also, if you're on YouTube, they're down below. That link and everything else is down below. And so make sure you're joining us again, laundromatresource.com/events. If you want to check that out, super good. Hey, real quick, if you've been a listener of this podcast and you have enjoyed it and you say, you know what, Jordan, I just wish I could give you buckets full of money, for all of the value that this podcast brings you. I mean, people tell me that all the time. But in all seriousness, save your buckets, save your money. And if you really want to do something that'll help me out, help Laundromat Resource out, head over to whatever platform you are consuming this on, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever, and Google Podcasts, wherever, and leave a rating and review. I mean, that really helps us out, not only giving me feedback on how I can continue to improve this podcast, but also helps, you know, get eyeballs on this. I mean, it's pretty cool the amount of awareness the industry is getting. And man, we just really love for people to get connected with each other and with these guests that we have on here and to be connected into the community that we have at laundromatresource.com and maybe be able to upload a hilarious profile picture. So man, do your part to contribute to the hilarious profile pictures by uploading one yourself and also by leaving a rating and review on whatever podcast platform Or on YouTube, if you're there, subscribe and leave a comment. But all right, enough of that. I just haven't done that in a while, and that really does help us out a lot. All right, so make sure you are heading over to the forums, ask a question, answer a question every single week. There's your weekly dose of brainwashing to get on the forums. Go get connecting with people. Go introduce yourself on the introductions forum. Go interact on the laundromat, the commercial real estate, the laundry machine repair forums. Those are all separate forums, financing forums. Go interact over there, meet some people, get some questions answered. Go answer some other people's questions. Cool. And then finally, and lastly, I just want to take a quick second to mini celebrate that the Laundromat Resource Instagram, which I have woefully neglected, has just reached 1,000 followers. Very cool. So congrats to all of us, I guess. I don't know. I need to get a better Instagram strategy. And after last week's episode with Brittany, I've been reinvigorated and I will be doing better on Instagram. So look forward to more growth over there and more value over there. So go follow us if you haven't done that yet. Instagram handle is at Laundromat Resource. All right, let's jump into it with Mark. I mean, this is a super good episode and I'm just rambling now. All right, let's jump into it, Mark, right after this.
All right, guys, today's episode is brought to you by Atmosphere TV. You may remember back in episode 34 when Atmosphere TV's Mike Kelly joined me on the podcast. It was an epic, epic episode. If you haven't listened to it, show 34, laundromatresource.com/show34. Go check it out. It's incredible. Ton of value there. One of the things we talked about is just the importance of creating a good, positive atmosphere in your laundromat. And I was just rereading the book by Simon Sinek, Start With Why. And one of the things that really stands out to me is that people don't make purchase decisions based on, you know, the logic of, you know, any decision that they're making to spend their money. It's more based on a feeling and an association. And so it's really important to create a positive feeling, a positive atmosphere, no pun intended, in your laundromat to help people associate this chore that most people don't like doing with something positive. Atmosphere TV is an incredible way to help improve the atmosphere of your laundromat. And basically, if you haven't heard of it, what it is it has 50 plus channels created specifically for businesses with everything from sports clips, hilarious fail videos, jaw-dropping videos from all over the world. There's automobile channels. There's a ton of stuff. My kids love, love, love it. And my customers love it. Atmosphere TV could be a great way to either supplement your cable, or a lot of us laundromat owners are cutting our cable bill completely and running Atmosphere TV. They're designed to be used with no audio, but they also do have an audio option. That way you can kind of design the atmosphere of your laundromat the way that you want it. So get rid of cable, get rid of those news channels that are bringing negativity into your laundromat, and fill your laundromat with positive videos that bring positive vibes to your customers with Atmosphere TV. And if you use the code word, the keyword, the promo code, I don't know, resource, promo code resource, then they're going to waive your setup fee. And now everything is going to be free. There's no monthly fee for it. You can use it for free in your laundromat, and it's going to give vibe to your atmosphere. So check out atmosphere.tv. I'll put a link down in the description on YouTube or in the show notes. Check it out there. Make sure you use the keyword resource. That way you can get that thing for free. And, or if you'd like, email Mike at mike.kelly@atmosphere.tv. TV.
Mark, thank you for coming on the show. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Jordan.
Oh, it's my pleasure, my honor. I'm very, very excited to chat with you about your laundromat experience. I know you own a few laundromats. We'll get to that here in a few. But before we get to that, can you just give us a little bit of background? Who are you? And then, you know, maybe take us into how did you get into this weird industry, the laundromat industry.
Sure. So I believe, like in many industries, you know, it's a matter of opportunity. So I'm a pharmacist by training, and I've been working in the pharmaceutical industry for 20 plus years. And, things were very, very, you know, nice. And I decided to, you know, do something else. So I opened a kind of a medical office for neurofeedback, but that wasn't putting food in my plate, right? Mm-hmm. So to say. So I had to find another option to, you know, get some revenues, some additional revenues. And so I met another French guy here in Miami who was the owner of 13 laundromats, and that got, you know, me into this business. And so to me, it was like opening the door to this, which I, you know, didn't know anything about. And so I ended up with, you know, buying 3 different laundromats, and I'm very happy about it.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay. So you are a pharmacist and you bought a medical office, and it, you know, it wasn't everything that you wanted and more. So you were looking for other sources of income, and you just happened to meet.
Absolutely. No. So the intellectual, you know, side of it was fed with this medical office, but I needed more revenue to feed the kids and everything. So you know how it is. Yeah, so yeah. And so, you know, I met with this very nice guy who walked me through and explained me about the business, and I thought it was, you know, like a great move for me. So that's what I did.
How did you, out of curiosity, how did you meet him? Was it just by happenstance or?
Two friends, and the French community here in Miami. There's quite a bunch of French people, so it's easier, you know, when you're a foreigner and you have like this community, so you can meet people through that.
Yeah, that's cool. Because I get asked all the time, like, you know, everybody's always looking for like a mentor or somebody to kind of help. Because I mean, that's so key, right? If you have somebody who's already done it and knows how to do it, and they can help you get started and get scaling quickly, then it makes things way easier. So I was just kind of curious how you stumbled upon that. And it sounds like you kind of just stumbled upon that.
Yeah. So, you know, I have to say that it has to be a win-win situation. I mean, you can have very nice people who can explain, you know, the business and everything, but to work together, you have to, you know, bring something on the table. So for me, it was more, you know, the financial side of it. And he was like the mentor, and he's been finding the right places to buy. He had the experience of due diligences. And so, you know, it was like a good mix. And to me, it's been like the deciding point to go into this business. Cause otherwise when you don't know anything about the business, it's not that it's complicated, but you don't know what you don't know. Right.
Yeah.
So it's better to have, you know, somebody you trust 100%, and then, you know, things are, you know, going easy. And then, you know, it's been about 2.5 years that I bought the businesses. And now I can say that, you know, I'm very comfortable, because it's not that complicated, but you have to know, you know, some tips and tricks and some rules to be able to be successful in this business.
Yeah. Well, you're absolutely right. It's a very simple business, but there are quite a few gotchas that can get you if you don't know about them, and you don't know what you don't know early on. That's very, very true. So having that mentor there is huge.
It is.
Okay. So first of all, let me just back us up a little bit. I want to talk about how you got these 3 laundromats and talk about those laundromats here in a second, but just, I want to back us up a little bit. So you said that you're French. Are you French? Like you're from France, or are you French? Like your family's from France?
No. I was born in Paris, lived there for 40 years and decided. So through my job at the time, I was, you know, in the pharmaceutical industry, and I had the opportunity to come to Florida for it. So, I had a, you know, very nice time. And after 4 years, I decided to shift a little bit. And so that's, you know, that's why I went into this business. And so now I'm a citizen of the US as well. So it's easier to, especially with the COVID and the travel ban, you know, it's much better to have double passports.
Yeah, absolutely. everything is so much more complicated than it used to be. That is true.
Yes.
Okay. So very cool. Very glad to have you here in America. Be a part of us, one of us. Yes.
Thanks for having me. Very nice to meet you so far.
Yeah, good. Okay, so you take me back. So you met this mentor, and I'm just gonna call him a mentor, your friend. And he had 13 laundromats, and you decided, hey, this might be a good way to go for me. What was the thing that made you decide what this guy's doing might be right for me? What was it about laundromats?
So I'm very much a number person. So I needed to put a plan together. So we've put together a table and see, you know, how much can I invest? What's the return on investment? How do we share profits? There's a lot of places to buy. And you have very, very different type of businesses. You have, I would say less than $100,000, dollars. So those are very, very small businesses. That's not what I wanted. I wanted something that was, going on. I wanted a certain level of revenue, and I was able to invest, a good amount of money. So we've been looking for places, between a certain, I'd say between 800 and 1.2 million at first. And because there's something that's very important. So it's an attended business. So you have employees, and, just for the example of the employees, when you have a $100,000 business, if it's attended, you have the same level of salary than a 1.2 million business. Mm-hmm. So it's a question of cost compared to revenue, and that makes you profit. So that's very important. So we wanted a business that was generating enough revenue to be able to be profitable. And also we wanted a business that, could be scalable and that had some option to grow. And so that was, the sake of our research. So we've put together a table, the price of the business, the expenses, the revenues. And then, when you're much clearer with the numbers, then you have a better, you have a better view of what you want to buy. So, so we went that way. So we first bought the first one, and then 2 months later, there was, other opportunities. So we bought a second one and then the third one. There is something very important to me as well, is you have to find, a realtor or someone who sells those kind of businesses,
right,
that you really got to trust. Because, it's still, especially for coins laundries, it's based on trust. Right. Because, the seller shows you the P&L for the last 3 years, and you kind of have to trust him, because it's tough to prove the numbers. So my advice would be to be extremely rigorous on the due diligence and, take your time. What we did a full month due diligence, went every day there. We've been doing the coin collections, looking at everything you could ever think of. And then at the end of the month, you're quite comfortable on the numbers. And then you can say, okay, I trust that. I trust the business, and I'm going to make an offer.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, okay. You just said a lot of stuff right there.
It's harsh.
It's really good. Really good. Okay. So let's go back to, so good. You said so much good stuff. Okay. So let's go back to, you kind of had a range of how much, you wanted to spend on this laundromat. Uh-huh. And sounds like that was mostly dictated by the returns that you wanted to get, and kind of balancing that out with the costs, which were going to, like you mentioned, are going to be the same, whether you own $1 million laundromat or you own a $50,000 laundromat, if you're going to be attended. Right. And so it makes more sense to scale bigger if you can do it.
Right. Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the first idea was that I didn't want to take care of it. I wanted my partner to do it. Mm-hmm. So for me, at first, it was only an investment. And then, things got different. And I started to have an interest on it. It was kind of fun of, you know, playing around with the numbers and do the collection myself. And, you know, I started to put my hand and I got the whole arms was involved. And, you know, I got really interested in the business because there's so many ways you can grow your business. And as an entrepreneur, you know, you have to have an entrepreneur spirit. So you can play on marketing, you can play on customer service, you can play on you know, cost, you can play on embettering the place or, you know, improving the place. You can play on so many different, you know, metrics that it gets very, very, you know, you get involved into it and it's very interesting. It's fun to play with it.
Yeah. Yeah. You got sucked in.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it sounds like you already had some of that entrepreneurship spirit in you, that was just waiting to be unleashed there.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and you know, kind of what you were just saying right now, you know, it's fun to kind of play, you know, you can improve the business, you play with the cost and that. And where it really gets fun, in my opinion, and probably yours too, is when you start doing multiple of these things all at once and trying to find the best combinations to, you know, serve the customers better and to maximize your revenue. And it does get very interesting there.
I remember somebody from Yahoo a very long time ago, you know, I saw a TED conference and the guy was saying, my mantra is test and measure, test and measure, test and measure. And that's what I'm trying to do. You know, I modify, I find new levers, and then I measure. I'm an Excel spreadsheet guy, and you know, I spend a lot of time playing around with numbers. And so it's fun to see that you have an almost instant when you do actions, you know, it produces very quickly. Like when you do a discount, or when you decide to go on free dryers on a certain day, or and especially with, you know, card system businesses, it's much easier to play around with discounts and promotions. So I have to say that if you have an entrepreneur spirit, it's a fun business to go into.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And we'll get into that too with the card stuff. And
yeah,
but like, I mean, like you're saying, there's a lot of different things that you can do, different promotions, different, you know, payment systems. And then once you're like those card systems specifically, you can do a lot of really interesting things with those that it would be very difficult or impossible to do with the coin system or coin payment system. Right. So, all right. Okay. So let's talk about this first deal that you got. Sounds like you got two more like pretty quickly after that. Yeah. Let's talk about this first one. How did you find it? Where did it come from?
So through that friend, mentor, you know, we talked and he was aware that I was looking for, you know, an opportunity. So one day he called me and said, you know, there's an opportunity over there. So the three laundromats are in downtown Miami. And so we went there, we went there kind of, you know, under the radar, cause you know, most of the time owners don't want you to show up. And, you know, since it's very difficult to get employees, so when employees see that the business is for sale, then, you know, they get nervous and anxious, and that's totally understandable. Yeah. So we went there, you know, took a look. I had visited a couple of businesses, you know, around to see and to be able to compare a little bit, since I was a real newbie. You know, simple things like opening the washer doors and, you know, see how old they are when you look at the references on the door, or, you know, the number of washers, number of dryers, the ratio between dryers and washers, which is very important. And then, you know, when you got more into the numbers, you see how much wash and fold, how much dry cleaning, how much soap you sell. And then you can do, you know, any ratio that you want that build the trust with the business. For example, the water consumption and the number of cycles, or the gas, you know, invoice and the dryer cycles. So there's so many things that you can, you know, play around with and, you know, kind of build trust in the opportunity you're seeking.
Yeah. Okay. So you guys went covert and started, you know, exploring around, seeing, you know, checking the place out, seeing, you know, the lay of the land a little bit. And
the best way to do that is you go to the vending machine, you buy a can of Coke, and you say you're waiting for a friend.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you know, what's funny is this is a little bit of a side note, but it's really difficult for me to do that. Because
same.
When I go to LA, some of the, like, if I'm going to check out competition stuff, like I stick out like a sore thumb. And so when I walk into a laundromat, everybody's like, why is that guy here? Right. He doesn't live around here. And so it's really hard for me to go be inconspicuous.
All right. It's more and more difficult.
Yeah.
Last time I did it, you know, after, you know, the minimum wage got higher in October. So I had to check the prices of my competition, and it was a tough time for me because you feel like everybody's looking at you like you're not a customer. You're just not a customer. So
pretty funny. Good tip though. Go grab Coke and wait for your friend.
Right. Wait for your friend.
Or just throw in a load of laundry too. You could do that too. Okay. So you guys, well, did a real estate agent or like a broker or anybody bring
that? It was a broker. Yeah. A broker.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's how you found it.
Yeah.
Okay. So you went and checked it out. You decided you liked it and decided to make an offer.
Yeah. So the owner sent us the, you know, through the broker, 3 years of P&L. So at the time it was 2016, 17 and 18, I believe. And so you can see kind of, you know, the growth of the business or the stability or, you know, the trends. Mm-hmm. You can also, double check, you know, if it's, like if those numbers are kind of telling the truth, like, if you have a good idea of what a vending machine, you know, gives you in terms of revenue or, you know, simple things like maybe gains that you have in the business or the number of dryers, the consumption of the water. So, you know, all in all, after, you know, a couple of hours, okay, those numbers are telling the truth. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to do the due diligence. So due diligence being spending one full month, and I'm talking about coin laundry. So it's quite different for card system laundries because you have the whole historic and it's much easier, right?
Paper trail.
So but for coin laundry, you have to see it to believe it. Mm-hmm. So we went with the owner. The owner was very nice, and you know, we went like every other day. And we did all collections. We were really shadowing the owner. And so we were not undercover. So we were, because we had to talk to the employees. So, you know, he was nice enough to let us, you know, ask any questions. And that was good to build the, you know, the confidence and the trust. And yeah, we did like, you know, we had a notebook, the coin collection, the wash and fold, dry cleaning, soap, vending machine, everything. And at the end of the month, you had like a real P&L for the month. And then we were able to take our decision whether we wanted to move forward or not.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So out of curiosity, did you get, so you said they gave you the 2 or 3 years of the P&Ls for that. Did they give you that before you made your offer or after you made your offer?
Yes, before.
Before?
Before and through the broker.
Okay.
Through the broker. And it's the first, you know, food that the broker, you know, is giving you, like the P&L gives you an idea of, you know, the prices and everything. It gives you a good image of what a business is, was, and it could be in the future.
Yeah. Awesome. I found that most times, they won't give you the detailed P&L until after you make an offer. And really, they'll just give you a kind of a general, here's the average income per month, here's the average expenses, and you kind of have to make your offer based off of that most times. So that's good that they
gave it to you. But why would they not give you the P&L before you make an offer?
Well, I think a lot of business owners are, and understandably so, are a little bit hesitant to open their books to just anybody. I mean, if they don't know who you are, you could be a competitor down the street,
right?
You know, looking, trying to get information about how much money they're making and all that or whatever. So they want you to be committed to the deal to some degree through making an offer. And, you know, you would make it contingent on verifying that stuff. But I found that to be pretty common. So, but it's awesome when you can get that information before you make the offer and have a little bit more peace of mind when you're making that offer.
But to be honest, the P&L was a rough, you know,
it was not a very
detailed one. You know, it was like big masses.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I've had the game, I've had like very detailed, like very solid books. And I literally had clients who we got the average monthly incomes P&L, handwritten on a napkin.
Oh, wow.
Literally. So I've seen the whole gambit of things. So, okay. So you did your due diligence. You went through and verified everything and everything looked good. So this first store was a coin store.
Yes, it was a coin store. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So a little bit later I installed the Dexter Pay option.
Okay.
Cause the washers and the dryers were pretty new, but the option, you know, wasn't installed at the time I bought. And I can talk about it later. I think it depends on the type of customer that you have. Mm. My customer over there, we're very used to the coin system and we didn't benefit that much of adding that option. Mm-hmm. I would say that in total, maybe the Dexter app represent 5% of the total revenue, not more.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, even still today.
Yeah. Yeah. He hasn't grown. No.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I mean, yeah, like you said, I think it depends on your demographic, but I've seen that to be true in a lot of places too. I don't think this numbers are super off, but other places do a lot more. So.
I mean, if you start from scratch with that payment option and get rid of the coin, that might be a good option. Yeah. But when people are used to the coins, it's, you know, I don't know. It's, you know, it's just a fact.
Yeah. Yeah. And you could, I mean, if you really wanted people to pay that way, you could incentivize it to give a discount or something.
So you have to be mindful that they're taking a fee.
Right.
And so.
Yeah. It actually costs you more.
Right. So. It costs you a little bit. So incentivizing something that, you know, gives you less revenue is sometimes okay.
But it is much easier to collect that money than the coins. So
it is. And especially during coin shortages.
Yes. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Apparently we're back in it. I don't know, man.
Yeah. There's still a little bit of shortage, but you know, we got our ways to get some coins sometimes.
Yeah.
Like with the game machine guy or with, you know, when they're doing their collection there, you can buy them back.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You gotta get creative, man. For a while there though, I was real struggling. I was down to very little coins for a little bit. I had to get creative.
Got me very anxious. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, okay. So now take us to you did your due diligence, everything checked out and you bought your first laundromat. What was it like? Like, you know, day one, you own a laundromat. I know you bought this one mostly as an investment, right? With your partner.
Yep.
What was it like? What was that day like when you first bought it?
So, I remember at the time my medical office, you know, side was very slow. So I had time to dig deeper into this new toy or new business. And so I went there every day. I really wanted to understand at the core of what it was. Cause you know, there's a feeling that you have when you don't know things and things are happening and you don't really know why it's happening. And it's a very bad feeling, like very uncomfortable. So I wanted to understand from A to Z. That's the way I am. So I dug, you know, deeper, did the collection myself, did everything myself, talked to the employee, you know, trying to understand how it worked. And, you know, you're learning as you go, right? And I think that's the best way to learn, because you're, you know, involved into it, and you have to solve the problem when they show up. Plus, you know, I had that huge advantage to have my mentor, you know, working with me. So any question I had, you know, he was there to answer. And, you know, any issue that we had, you know, he was coming to the store with me. And it's much easier to think when you're two people than being completely alone, mm-hmm. and not knowing about, you know, about it. So no, you know, it went very smoothly. 2 years from now, you know, I have very different knowledge. I don't know if I know more, but you know, I've been facing a lot of issues, and no, I'm able to solve them now.
Yeah.
So, which is, you know, my anxiety level has gone down, and that's good. But it's a bit like any other business, I would say, you are going to be successful if you're very much involved into it. And if you're make your brain work, you know, every day, like try new things. If you think about it as a how do you call it, non-attendee business, like you're not going there, or you feel like it's only an investment, then it's not going to work, because the competition is here. They're going to do things better than you do. Your employee are going to be discouraged, you know, and not happy about what they do. It's like a family. You have to make sure everybody's happy, especially, you know, there's been a shortage of coins, but not only there's been a shortage of employees, like mm-hmm. lately. So you have to make sure that your employees are happy. And it's not only about money. It's about, you know, the way you manage them, the way you incentivize them. You know, the devil's is in the details. So you have to make sure you cover everything. But it's a process. You know, you're not the best one at day one. You get better as you go. And I still have a lot to learn, right? So, but you know, so far it's been successful, and you know, I discovered a couple of options to grow the business, and, you know, especially pickup and delivery. That's been extremely effective to grow your business and to grow your margins.
Yeah,
as well.
Okay, we'll get there. Don't get into that yet. We'll get there, because I want to hear about that for sure. Real quick though, on that first one, I know there's a pretty short gap between your first one and buying that second one, right? I think you said 2.5 months or so.
Like, I know, I like 3 or 4 months.
Oh, well, I mean, that's like an eternity then.
You have a lot to do with the first one then.
Yeah. So. did you run into any challenges early on that were, you know, that you felt like you had to tackle? I mean, you kind of mentioned your anxiety level coming down. So that means at some point you had some anxiety. Was it just because things were new and you were trying to learn it, or did any challenges come up?
Yeah, I mean... You know, when you're not in your comfort zone, you tend to be more anxious. That's natural. I'm very down to earth, so I need to understand. So I get anxiety. I mean, I'm not an anxious person, so to say. But, you know, when you don't know things, you know, it can be a little bit challenging. Mm-hmm. So, and, you know, the issues are appearing, like showing up randomly. And that can be, you know, sort of a discomfort, because when you've never faced, you know, those type of issue, then you don't know how to solve them. But it can be very different, like fire inspection, like employee that cannot come, you know, for 1 week in a row. You don't have any cover for them, or you're running out of a product that you can't find anywhere, or, you know, so many different things, a leak, a water leak, a leak in the roof, AC problems here in Miami. So many different things. You have to be on board. I would say my advice is to be on board 100% of your time the first 6 months, and then you can handle it. You can also have your employee, you know, take care of this or that and have them manage, you know, part of it. And I think it's good because it's giving them some responsibilities and, you know, it allows us, you know, them to grow in their job. So it's good too. And it's much better than you deciding for everything or you taking all decision based on your instinct, which is to me can be a disaster.
Yeah. Especially if your instincts aren't based on anything. We develop instincts, especially when it comes to business and stuff. And the way you develop those instincts is through tackling problems. I mean, you mentioned a lot of like, I'm like, yes. Employee doesn't show up for a week. Yes. You know, a leak somewhere. Yes. A fire inspector. Yes. There's a product, you know, people can't buy. And I was just about to stop you because I don't want to scare people from all the problems encounter, but they're obstacles. Right. Yeah. And I'm like 100% with you. I'm not an anxious person at all, but early on when you don't know things, like it's stressful because these problems feel very big when you don't know what to do about them. Yeah. Right.
And usually it doesn't happen on a Monday at 10 o'clock in the morning. No, right. It's better on a Saturday at 11 PM.
Yeah. I told the story before, but I literally had to go, there was like a leak in the, the toilet was plugged up on Christmas Eve one year, and I called a plumber, paid the emergency price for him to come out. And he's like, oh, sorry, there's something solid in there, so we can't get it out. And I was like, I know there's something solid, and that's why I called you. So they wouldn't do it. So I had to drive out to my laundromat on Christmas Eve, pull the toilet off, and somebody had shoved a potato in the toilet. And I had to like take it out a piece at a time with the little router thing. And you know, it's just like, good grief. Like it never happens at a convenient time, or somebody's clothes get stuck in the wash and you can't get them out and the employee can't get them out and you got to figure out how to get the clothes out. But that always happens. Like you said, Saturday at 11 or on some holiday or
you have to be the multifunction guy. You have to be the handyman, the boss, you have to be everything. And you know, it takes a little bit of time to understand that. And then when you know that, you have to, you know, get your feet wet in every part of the, you know, of the business, then you're good to go.
Yeah. I mean, super solid advice. And I mean, dealing with those challenges, it is challenging, but you know, what I found, and maybe, I mean, it sounds like you found this to be true too, is, you know, when we talk about growing as a person, like, you know, grow as a person, we don't necessarily think of, or at least I didn't really necessarily think of, a big part of that is being able to handle bigger and more problems with less anxiety, right? And now my problem solving and problem handling skill set is much larger, largely because I had to deal with a lot of problems early on in my laundromat journey. But you know, my problem solving skill set is so much larger, and so now problems that were overwhelming to me at the time, I barely even think about anymore.
I told you, I'm couldn't agree more.
And so, and but that growth, a lot of times that growth comes through the adversity that we go through. Right. Yeah. And that's something that I think we're afraid of. And that I think paralyzes a lot of people to get into this business or any business, right. Is the, you know, that anxiety, that fear of not being able to overcome any like, what if your laundromat's not making money? What are you going to do about that? Mm-hmm. And if you don't know that, that's scary. That's a scary thing. Right. And it can paralyze you, but you can't develop the ability to overcome these obstacles without going through some obstacles and figuring out how to overcome.
Right. That. Right. And I really believe you learn as you go and you're going to find a solution. You know, everybody can find a solution, and sometimes, you know, some options are better than others, but at the end of the day, if you're into it, if you're involved, if you think clearly, if you have a mentor, if you read good books, if you watch good podcasts, you're going to be very successful. And that's for sure. And there's another thing that we haven't talked about is the Google reviews, you know, on your business. And when you start as an entrepreneur, it can be very destabilizing to see a very bad review, you know, like a one-star review with someone that's very upset about something that happened. And then you feel like, you feel a little bit like lost because you don't know what to say. So you try to answer. And so that's the process. You can have like 9 out of 10 people that are extremely satisfied with your service. And then one, you know, angry troll. And that's not, that's upset. So, and saying,
that's always, you know, the only one that matters to you.
Sure. Sure. Yeah, that's true. But you have to learn, you know, to go with it. And there's so many options to grow your grade or to make your grade better. Simple things like raffles or like, you know, things like this that can, you know, solve the problem as well. But the Google, I use the Google review as a managing tool. Like when I have a very bad review, that's kind enough to be very well described or to be described in details, then, you know, I bring the review at the laundromat. I discuss with employee and I say, okay, what have we done wrong? What can we do better? You know, it's not about blaming anybody. It's, you know, as a team, what can we do better? Can we maybe, you know, reach out to this customer if you know who it is? Because sometimes, you know, it's not the real name. You know, there's always things you can do and build on to be better. So sometimes a bad review is a growth opportunity, which sounds weird, but that's what it is.
Yeah, I love that Google reviews as a management tool. That's a very, I mean, that's like a, that's worth the price of it, what people paid to listen to this, right?
Right.
And, yeah. And more right there.
Yeah.
But in all seriousness, I mean, that's a really great review tip is to use it as a management tool. And it's that, like, I love that you said, it's not a blame thing. Like, hey, you did this wrong. Look at what happened. Now we got a bad review. It's okay. We got this review. Is there merit to it? And if there is, okay, no problem. But how can we use this to get better as a business? And that's right. A growth mindset that I love. And I think is key to having a successful business, continue to improve your business all the time. And I always, and I like you, you kind of close with this. And I love that. I always try to, what's helped me keep my sanity with those reviews, especially when they're like unfounded reviews and stuff, is I always see that those reviews as an opportunity, right? It's an opportunity to one, manage your business better using it as a management tool, but it's also an opportunity to turn your hater into, or not, maybe not even a hater, but turn somebody who had a bad experience into a raving fan. If you can reach out to them or even just respond to them on right. their review and really go above and beyond to make things right and to let them know, hey, thank you for this review because, you know, essentially I use it as a management tool and here's what we're going to do different in our business now because of you. We really appreciate that. We'd love to, you know, make things right for you, you know, right. contact us or whatever.
And as also, long as the review is fair.
If and, it's and fair. And yeah.
It's an angry troll, then it's a different, you know.
Yeah. Which is the case and sadly is the case. And sadly, it's really hard to get those troll reviews removed, you know,
it's impossible. I mean, yeah, I stopped trying because I never was successful for that.
I think the best technique there is to just drown them out with good reviews and provide excellent service and
right.
ask people, hey, if you had a good experience here, go give us a good review because we got this troll over here who's, you know, spewing a bunch of nonsense. Okay, man, so many good tips today. I'm loving it. Okay, we haven't even
another thing you can do to avoid bad reviews is to put like, I don't know how you call it, like an idea box, you know, in your laundromat,
like a suggestion box. Yeah.
Yes. Suggestion box. Mm-hmm. And so when people are really angry, you can, you know, train the employee to tell customer, okay, I see that you're very upset. I'm so sorry about it. you know, the owner reads all reviews. So I can give you a piece of paper, you put it in the suggestion box, and then he'll get back to you. And sometimes, you know, it's same, it's a review, but it's not on Google. Mm-hmm. So it's a way to, you know, avoid like that very angry guy that jumps on Google business and put a review, you know, a public review. So that's a good way. But you have to reach out to them and discuss with them and you know, try to solve the problem. Sometimes it's a very simple problem. The washer didn't provide enough water and I felt like I was scammed and I paid for something I didn't get. So I want a refund. And then, you know, sometimes the employee don't believe. And so when you talk to people, things are going very, very easy. But, you know, most of the time it's a matter of discussing with people and, you know, you don't want your customer to feel screwed sometimes. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you have to call, you have to discuss with them. That's important.
Yeah. And those suggestion box entries are not generally going to be trolls. Those are going to be people who have genuine gripes because nobody's going to troll you in private. What's the point of that?
Yeah.
So
the downside of it is that when you have like a lot of suggestion that you can't like, you know, put into the store, mm-hmm. then people are getting frustrated because they've given you like good ideas. They believe it's good ideas, mm-hmm. certainly good ideas, but you know, you can't answer, you know, you can't fit to their needs. So sometimes it can be frustrating. So there's limits for the suggestion. Yeah.
Super good tips there on reviews and both, you know, online and offline. Man, worth its weight in gold right there. Okay. So you bought your first one and we kind of talked about that. How'd you find your second one?
So the master plan was to have multiple engine for my revenues. Right. So, cause you know, sometimes one engine doesn't work as well as you expected and another one is working better. So, you know, it was really the idea of having multiple engines to build your revenue, to be able to have a certain stability. And, you know, having been an employee for 20 plus years, you have the same salary every month. Mm-hmm. So there's no anxiety over there. Mm-hmm. When you're an entrepreneur, some months are wonderful. Some months are not so wonderful. So, you know, I needed a certain stability in that matter. So I wanted to find, you know, a couple of other laundromats. And I stumbled on a laundromat that we saw a couple of, you know, months ago, and the owner was not ready to sell. And for some reason, he was ready to sell like after 6 months. So we were very interested in it. And especially because there was a whole cart system, the washer and dryer were pretty new. And we felt like the business was very unmanaged, like not very well managed in the past, which is for me is a huge opportunity because you can make things better. You can grow with simple things. You know, you can grow your business and that's very good. As long as it's not too late, right? If it's been managed very poorly for years, then, you know, sometimes it's tough to get back because your customer have a very bad, you know, feel about the laundromat and, you know, sometimes it's tough to rebuild everything. In this case, it was good. What I liked very much is the fact that I had the whole historic for a couple of years. So, you know, again, I could play around with numbers. I put everything in my Excel spreadsheet, been copying all the numbers, been playing around, do some charts and some to build the trust. And then we made an offer. And it was also an opportunity because we bought this in the middle of the pandemic. Mm. So the revenue were very much down. And it was an opportunity, you know, not well managed. The revenue were down. You could better in maintenance, like the washer, the dryers, you know, there was many out of order machines. There was no games. There was no ATM. There was, there was no service, so to say. And, you know, with a little, you know, change in within the laundromat, you can, you could make the place much more appealing than it was. So all in all, it was the perfect opportunity. So we made an offer. And since then, we almost doubled the revenues.
Wow.
So within 2 years, yeah. And to be honest, nothing genius, nothing, you know, out of the box. Very simple things, good employees, good incentives, good service, a clean laundromat, clean laundromat, which is super important, and a day-to-day management, you know, for the first 3 months. And then, you know, you can spend a little less time in it. But definitely, if you do things right, you're going to be successful.
Yeah. Okay. So did the broker bring you that deal too?
It was a different one. Yes. It was a different broker.
Different broker. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
But it was through a broker. Yeah.
Yeah, man. That sounds awesome. And I love that you're talking about finding the opportunity, right? It's that finding that balance of one that's been mismanaged, but is salvageable, and one that's been managed into the ground that is going to be much more difficult to to rehab. And that's one of the big lessons I learned when I bought my first one, is I would say that was one that was managed into the ground. And I say this a lot, but you know, I found that it's way easier to rehab a laundromat than it is to rehab the reputation of a laundromat, especially when it's been run into the ground. Because like you said, customers have a certain feeling about that laundromat.
Right.
And it's very difficult to overcome that feeling, even if you put all brand new equipment in, you change the color layout, the branding, everything's new. It can still be difficult to rehab the reputation of that laundromat. And it does take a lot of management, especially on the front end, to, you know, get people back in the door and make sure they have a good experience when they come in the door.
Right. Yeah. I totally agree. I would say, if you are interested in a business, like talking about Google reviews, for example, if you have a business that less than 3 stars on average,
mm-hmm.
it starts to be difficult to, you know, to get back on track. I would say the best would be between 3 and 3.5, you know, stars on Google review, because mm-hmm. you know you can get much better. You have, you know, room to improve. And it's not too late. Like if you have a laundromat that's rated like 2.0, then, you know, it's going to be a hard work.
Yeah.
It's not impossible for sure, but you have to turn your customer's mind around. Like, mm-hmm. you know, if they have like a bad taste of that place, and certainly they've experienced maybe your competitors, like other laundromats, and maybe they're satisfied with it. So to have them come back to your laundromats, you know, is going to need like a lot of efforts, but it's not impossible. Again, you know, nothing's impossible. You can turn around the grade quite easily and quite quickly. I believe that the average, you know, the grade average is not calculated on the full, you know, historic of grades, but the last 2 years, correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like I've been able to turn around, you know, and improve those grades quite quickly when you do things right, you know. And I have to say that customers are very, recognition, you know, they have a recognition for your work. Mm-hmm. And so when they see that you put a lot of effort into it and you try to improve the place, to develop new services, maybe, you know, tweak a little bit the prices, have some free dryers day, for example, you know, they like it a lot. So maybe, you know, you have to maybe incentivize them to put some good reviews, because it's always easier to put a bad review because you're upset. So you have more energy to fuss in and then putting a good review when you're satisfied. So sometimes it's a matter of, you know, triggering those good review, rather than just, you know, getting the bad ones.
Yeah, I love that. So, okay. So you bought your second one. It's a card store. The due diligence, I'm assuming, was a lot simpler.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was just, you know, a matter of the number, you know, they sent us the numbers. We took a look. We spent maybe like a week thinking about it, you know, being in the store. You know, sometimes it's good to go on a Monday at 11 a.m., see how many people is in the store, in the stores, or, you know, you go, you have to spend time, I believe. And even, you know, the different amenities like the parking lot, you know, is the parking lot like, clean, or do you have enough spaces? You know, looking at everything, like is the door opening well? Is the curtain, the iron curtain, broken? Anything you can see, and then build a plan before you buy. Like, okay, if I buy this store, I'm gonna fix this and this. I'm gonna talk with the landlord to improve the parking lot. I'm going to change this machine and this one. And so you have to have a plan. You know, it's not like buying something and then, you know, okay, what am I going to do now? Things need to be clear before you buy. That's my beliefs.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially if you're buying a quote unquote opportunity, one where there's opportunities for you to improve. You're buying turnkey, maybe a little less, you need a plan. But if you're looking for one that, or you're buying one that, you know, has some opportunity for growth, I always recommend, hey, have that plan going into it and know, you know, how the business is performing is kind of that due diligence. Uh-huh. But the other question that you need to take a little step further is, why is it performing that way? And how am I going to improve it from there? And having that plan and understanding, I think, that why. So like you identified in your second one, you think it was a little bit mismanaged. And then since you knew it was mismanaged, you said, okay, well, what can we do? What's the plan to manage this thing better, going right into it, in order to improve, you know, revenue and improve the experience for the customers too?
Yeah. I would also recommend to bring on your mechanic, you know, mm-hmm. to check the washers and dryers, you know, like do a quick check. Bring as many people as you can. Like even, you know, even friends of yours that don't know anything about the business, what's your feeling in this store? What would you change? Okay. Maybe I would redo the painting. I would change the colors. I would add some vending machines, you know, very simple advices that, you know, can be in addition to what you plan to do, can be a good thing. So don't go alone. Don't make up your mind alone. It's good to have different, you know, reviews and ideas and advices, and then, you know, take your decision in full blown and then, you know, do what you got to do.
Yeah. I love that. Love that advice. And as somebody who essentially went alone on my first one, did not go well. And I've seen it happen a lot of times now. So I love that advice. And I even like, you know, that you mentioned, hey, bring somebody who doesn't really know anything about the business and just get their. Sometimes we get those blinders on. We've been looking at laundromats and, you know, we get those blinders on. It's hard for us to see, you know, where some of the opportunities are, some of the things that need improvement. Okay. So after 3 or 4 months, you bought your second one after your first one. How long did it take till you got your third one?
So the third one was like 6 months after the second one.
Okay.
Yeah. So pretty much the same story, you know, we learned about another opportunity. The price was quite right, compared to what we could invest. I think there's something to think about is the amount you're investing and the amount of your loan, right? Mm-hmm. And the ratio between both needs to be. You have to think about it because you're going to pay a lot in loans or, you know, and a lot of interests. So it has to feel right. I believe that maybe 40-60 is a sweet spot, like 40% investment, 60% loan. You know, that worked quite well for us for me. But at the same time, you know, you can have like a great opportunity and you have like a 70-30 loan and 30 investment that works too. But you have to do, you know, the math and know exactly what you're going to get the first months, years, and then maybe, you know, renegotiating your loan again and, you know, and have it for a longer time. For example, usually it's a 7 years loan. You know, after 2 years, you can maybe negotiate it again. And, you know, it happened in the past, like the recent past, the rates have gone down. So you have a better rate and then you can have it on 7 years again. So it lowers the amount of loan and it's an opportunity for you to maybe reinvest some of the revenue that you're making to improve the business again. So, you know, there's many levers that you can act on and many things you can do. You're not stuck in a situation. Like you talked about retooling, like, you know, sometimes, you know, it feels like you're going to spend a lot of money into it, but sometimes this is the right move to do. Cause as long as you don't change your washer or dryer, it's going to cost you a lot in mechanic, you know, a lot in maintenance. So maybe this is a good move. You buy a business but maybe the best thing is to know that you're going to have to retool it right away. And it's not a surprise. Have your mechanic come in, you know, have him give you like a check of everything and you have to be aware of everything.
Going right back into having a plan, you know,
right.
Before you go in, you know, that's a huge part of it, right? If you need to retool, you know, right away or within the first few years, you definitely want to know about that before you buy a laundromat. Cause that is a big cost. And like you said, it makes sense in a lot of situations, but man, if you don't know about it going into it, that can be a pretty rude awakening.
Oh yeah. It's better to have no surprise than the other way around. Right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And you don't want to invest, you know, tens, hundreds of thousands of dollars on buying a business and skimp on, you know, a few hundred or a few thousand dollars on getting the information you need beforehand to make sure that you have the right plan going in to make sure that this business is going to be good.
Right. So. And it's not 100% sure decision for sure. I mean, there's things you can miss. There are surprise that you cannot, you know, plan. So I'm not saying that you have to be 100% sure, you know, because if that's the case, then you don't do anything in your life. But there is like big surprise that you can avoid. I think with a decent, you know, advice with a mechanic, with a friend, with a mentor, with the broker, you can have like a pretty good idea of what you're going to buy and what you're going to do about it. Mm-hmm. Again, it's a matter of planning your decision, planning your expenses as well. Because if you have to spend like, you know, couple of dollars on changing some washers or dryers, or maybe even if the ratio is not good between dryers and washer, you know that you're going to add like 2, 3, 4, 10 stacks of dryers. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's the limitation that, you know, why your business is not growing anymore. Because, mm-hmm. you know, let's go on a Sunday at noon and see if there's people in line waiting for dryers. If there's like a huge line, then it's not a good, you know, it's not a good thing. You know that you're limited by the number of dryers. And so you're never going to grow. So you're going to buy an X amount of money, your business, and you have to know that you're going to spend 20% more adding those, you know, extra dryers. That's important.
Yeah. Super, super important and super good advice. I mean, there's just you can tell that you really got into this because you have just so much really good wisdom that you're sharing. A lot of, you know, I can tell hard-earned wisdom and hard-earned advice there because you've really immersed yourself into the business. Very cool. All right. Before we jump into our next section called Down to Business, I want to ask you one more question. What's the future hold? Are you planning on buying more? Are you good at three? What do you?
Yeah, so that's a very, very good question.
Thank you.
The first thing I aim to do is to grow the existing businesses. So to me, that's important. The first reason is you make more revenue, you have a more sane business, and if you want to sell it, you know, you can sell it in a better shape. So mm-hmm. it's better. So to me, it's a question of opportunity. I always, you know, keep a look at the markets, and if an opportunity arises, then, you know, I take a look at it, and, you know, even it could be, you know, a good time to maybe sell the first business if you need money to invest, or if you believe that you've gone to the maximum level or the maximum potential of your business, then maybe it's time to sell it. Mm-hmm. Everything is open. Everything's still open. Maybe the limit that I would see to adding more businesses is my time or the way I can manage it. Because, you know, it's very exciting to have many, many laundromats if you can afford them, but you need time to manage them properly. Mm-hmm. Or you find a very good person that you trust 100% that can manage it. But to me, managing it or having someone managing it is something different. And then it would be more like an investment, like, you know, a financial investment. But, you know, for now, if I can find a forced opportunity, I'd be very happy. Yeah.
Awesome. All right. Well, we got a section. We haven't done any yet. We have a section called Down to Business.
Let's get down to business. Over and out.
And that's where we just find out some details about your business. So Let's chat about some of these details. Okay. So first question is, where are you now? You're not in Paris. Where are you?
I'm in Miami, in the sunny state of Florida.
All right. Yeah. Love Miami.
Yeah, it's a nice place.
Yeah. Very different from Paris in pretty much every way possible, I would say.
Yeah, yeah. Before coming here, I didn't know the sun exists.
Now you can't get rid of it.
I knew the rain. I mean, it can rain pretty heavily here, but it's a different rain. You know, it's all or nothing. It's raining all of a sudden, and then 10 minutes later, it's sunny, bright, sunny day. So,
yeah, that's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Okay, so you have 3 laundromats, right?
Mm-hmm.
You've been in the business about 2.5 years,
right?
Yeah. Can we talk just for a second about pricing? How are you pricing your laundromats?
Like the
wash prices. Yeah.
So again, that's a very good question. And that's not a question I can answer easily. I think you have to, so when you're buying a business, you have like price that are set up already. Mm-hmm. And changing the price to me is a heavy decision.
Mm-hmm.
It's a heavy decision for customers. It's a heavy decision for yourself, meaning that it can have an impact very quickly on your revenues, bad or good. And you have to be very, very careful when you rise your prices, there could be no turning back, meaning that if the customer feels like you're getting into an expensive laundromat, then they can, you know, turn their head away from it and go to the competition. So to me, it's always been a very, very delicate question. So your question was, how much is a washer?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, on average, because the prices are different between the three, but I would say a 20 pounder is 250. A 30 pounder is 275. 30 pound is 375. 40 pound 475. 60 pound 675. 80 pound 875. 100 pound 1075. But that's down in Miami, right? The minimum wages are not the same in LA. And so your expenses are different. I guess in LA, it's much more expensive than us. But you have to find a sweet spot again.
Yeah, everything is expensive here. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But I mean, you mentioned that your laundromats are priced differently. Can you talk a little bit about that? Why are they different? Is it because they're different areas and competition's different? Or how did you decide to price them and why are they different?
So first, I went to my closest competitors. And you have to compare with what you have, you know, close to you. So that's one thing. Second thing is the demographic is very different between the three. So that you have to take it into account. Mm-hmm. And the fourth one is coin laundry or card system laundry. Card system is much more flexible. So for example, what I do in my card system store, I have some days where the dryers are free. And so on those days, my washers are a little bit more expensive. Right. And when the dryers are not free, then I lower the price of the washers. So, because for some people, you know, free dryer is everything. So they come to your store, they enjoy the free dryers. And, you know, when you look at the numbers, I make, I would say, 20% more revenue on the free dryer days. But there's a downside about it because, you know, your gas invoice is like rising to the top. And so you have to make sure it's a win-win situation because sometimes you grow your revenue, but you grow madly your expenses. Right. So you have to be very careful. And the card system allows much more flexibility. So you could imagine like doing some happy hours or doing some, free dryers day or free morning dryers day. So that's why I enjoy the cart system because I can play around with number and I feel that's fun to me to do it. And you can see the result right away because you have the whole historic. So you see your Mondays, your Tuesday, your Wednesday, your weekend, and you can tweak, you know, prices more accurately. And the second advantage is that you're not stuck with 25 by 25, you know, prices. So for example, let's say you have a 30 pounds at 375. When you move your price, then you go up to four. So four is like a mental, you know, barrier. That's four is not three. So
it's a new number.
Right. With the cart number, you can go from 375 to 379 or 384. So which is, you know, more subtle. And I believe your customer, you know, it's not a huge bump as with the coins. So the price strategy, there's no perfect strategy, but you have to try things. You have to respect your customers. Rising your prices is never a good idea unless you can tweak it, you know, delicately and smoothly. And at a time, I remember when, you know, they decided to increase the minimum wages and we saw, you know, the gas going up, the electricity, you know, rates going up. We had to raise our prices, right? Because, you know, the revenue compared to, the expenses compared to the revenue were going up. So at one point of time, I thought that maybe it was a good thing to explain customer why I was rising my prices. I didn't do it, but I still believe that it would be a good idea. Like explaining people that in order to pay your employee more at a better rate, to offer better service, you need to go through this, like raising your prices. And you try to be as subtle as you can. And, you know, and you trust, you know, their confidence and their, and I believe if you treat your customer like intelligent people, it's always a better deal than, you know, taking your customer for what they are. I mean, for what you think they are. I don't know how to say it. No offense. No, but
yeah, no.
You know, customer are very smart.
Yeah.
Extremely smart. And they see everything you do. Like I remember a review saying that, you know, with a new owner, it's very nice. We see him every day. I was like, wow. So I have customers that are seeing me every day, meaning they come every day. That's crazy. So they are, you know, very, they're very into it and they can see details. So your prices is one of them, you know, is things they spot right away. So, you know, maybe explaining, having like a sheet that you put in the laundromat saying, okay, that's why we had to raise our prices, and we love our customer and we believe that we're offering a better service with a better employees and, you know, a way to pay them better. Makes sense sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Good pricing talk there. Cause I think that's one of the big struggles for people is how do you know when to raise your price? How do you know how much to raise your price? Cause like you said, it is this delicate thing. And you know, there's
you know, one story, before deciding to raise my prices, you know, I went to the competition and most of them were like same price. They hadn't, you know, rise their prices. So to me, it was like, okay, I need to wait a little bit more because I don't want to be the first to rise my prices. And so, you know, take your time. It's, you know, you're not in a rush. It's not going to change the whole paradigm of revenue, but you have to make things right. Or maybe, you know, change prices of the 20 pounders only at first and then the 30. And then, or maybe change only the prices of options, mm-hmm. like superwash, you know, you rise the superwash, you, the extra rinse, you, there's many, many options, you know, like, yeah, there's many options to rise your prices, but you have to make it right.
Yeah. Awesome. Are all three of your laundromats fully attended?
Yes, they are. Yeah.
All three fully attended, and you have one coin store and one and two that are they card only?
Yes.
Yeah.
Two are cards only and one is coin only.
Do you see a big difference in how much management needs to be done between coin and card, or are they about the same?
I would say definitely card is easier to manage. But, you know, in some areas or some demographics or some store that's been with coin forever, you know, there's not one solution better than the other one, except when you have coin shortages. yeah, there's an extra effort to do the collection when you have the coin, so it takes more time. Mm-hmm. But in a way, you can see, you know, which washer are working best, which size of washer, which, so it's always an interesting, you know, thing to do the collection because it gives you a lot of insights. But it takes time. Yeah.
Yeah. We haven't really talked about it yet, but, pickup and delivery, did you start off, doing pickup and delivery? Did you buy a business that was already doing it and you took over? Did you implement it? Tell me about your pickup and delivery.
Sure. So I remember I went to the Clean Show in New Orleans. I think it was in 2019 or 2018. I can't remember exactly. And I met those guys from Amper App. And to me, you know, they really sounded right. Those guys were from the, you know, laundromat business. They knew about it. You know, I think one of them was a laundromat owner, and, you know, we started to talk and we went, you know, slowly but surely, and I've implemented their solution, maybe 18 months ago, a little bit less than 2 years. And to me, it's been a total game changer. I've been able to, so I'm going to talk about one laundromat, the first laundromat that I implemented the solution with. I've been able to grow maybe 20% the total revenues. And so the pickup and delivery is something you have to think about. When you have an attendee business, you have to, you know, think about this option. So there's many upside about it. The first, this laundromat is in a very popular area with a low income demographic. And so that's why my prices are low. Wash and fold, especially dry cleaning, it's low prices. The very good thing about pickup delivery is you can grab some business in some rich neighborhood. where mm-hmm. people can afford, you know, better price, I mean, higher prices. And that way, you know, it's a good way to play on both sides of it, like walk-in business and pick-up and delivery business, which is very different. And I believe so. I've been thinking about different solutions, like having my own website, doing my own marketing. And then, you know, really quickly, I realized that, you know, this is not something I can do. This is not something I know. Sorry, I'm going to have to plug my computer. I'm running out of battery. Okay, good. So I decided to go with people who knew the business of pickup and delivery. So do you want me to explain how it works?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Why don't you tell us how it works?
So those guys are selling you for a very affordable price, some territories. And you're the only one who managing territories. So it's exclusive. And then you deal with finding a driver, renting a van if necessary, or finding a driver with his own car, which works too mm-hmm. in some cases, especially at the beginning when you start, you know, to build your business and you don't have many, many orders. And the very good thing about it is they have an app that's top notch. They have a system to manage your whole thing really good. And to me, what was the deciding point is that they have a customer service team that handles everything about it. Like you have an angry or an upset customer, they deal with it. They call him, they solve the problem. You know, it's not so much extra work as if I had to do everything by myself. And to be honest, I felt like I couldn't build my own brand because it takes you a lot of effort, a lot of money, a lot of time with a brand that's not going to be national, a brand that's going to be very local. And, you know, compared to the big players out there, you know, it's going to be very tough to emerge in this market. So that's why I took the decision to go with a national brand. There is a couple of players out there. But what I liked about AmperUp is like their fees were very, very minimal. The territories, prices were very affordable. And, you know, after 18 months, I couldn't be happier than that. I mean, they're dealing with customer, they're taking care of almost everything. So to me, you know, it keeps me focused on what I do best is managing my laundromat. And I would say the only tricky part is to find the good driver. And we know that can be a real, you know, struggle.
Yeah. Yeah. You can ask, Ross Dodds, who's been on the podcast before. He's always posted on Facebook about driver not showing up or more likely some accident that his driver has gotten into. He's here in LA. And he just posted another one where the whole front end of his van was bashed in. I posted that recently. So it's kind of an ongoing joke on the laundromat owner's Facebook group about his drivers. But I mean, all that said, like it's difficult to find a good driver who's gonna, you don't even really necessarily have to be a great driver. You just need to be consistent, right? And that's hard enough to find, you know,
right.
in and of itself. So
I have to say that over the 18 months, I've found two amazing drivers. But also some driver that weren't showing up after 2 days or, you know, they were deciding that they're not going to be, like not even showing up. It's tough to swallow. Like, you know, you have customers that are waiting for the driver to pick up or deliver and no one's there. So for sure, you have to be ready to hit the road yourself. And do it when you have to do it. And I have to say that it's been very insightful, you know, the days I've done it. Again, it's a matter of understanding the business. Mm-hmm. So, and I believe that you can manage your driver much better when you've done it yourself than the other way around. You know, for example, we're serving the Miami Beach area, Aventura, you know, that's high rise buildings where it's very difficult to park. So you get a better idea of how much time the driver is going to spend on his shifts. And be a better manager because you know what's happening. Or you can, put more money in marketing in some areas where it's easier to have access to, or, you know, so the better you know the business, the better you can manage it. Again, same simple thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Where, out of curiosity, where are you finding drivers?
So Craigslist, or Facebook. Or ad in the laundromat because you need somebody who's close by, or through employees.
Good tips.
Yeah.
Good tips there. Last question of the section. Can you give me a ballpark? I'm sure it varies, but can you give me a ballpark? How many hours a week are you spending working on your laundromats?
So, the question is very interesting because I spend a lot of time working for the laundromat, but not particularly inside the laundromat. So like I would say I spend altogether maybe 15 hours in my three laundromats, inside my laundromats, but I spend maybe 15 more hours, playing with my Excel spreadsheet and make sure, and think about it and think about the strategy, the marketing, everything. So if you want, you can make it a full-time job. That's for sure. And even more. And it's up to you. I mean, I believe you can manage, laundromat with less hours, but I don't feel comfortable doing it because I feel like it's more investment. And then, things can go bad in certain ways if you're not, into it.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to have to remove all of the spreadsheet hours from there because it sounds more like playing to you.
No, it's not playing. No.
No, I'm just kidding. You just enjoy it so much.
No, I enjoy it. Yeah.
I'm just kidding. All right. I'll put them back in. You can have the spreadsheet hours back in. We have another section called Secret Sauce.
Listen up, it's the Secret Sauce.
Okay.
And Secret Sauce is, hey, what do you find that's working well for you right now in your business that maybe other laundromat owners can implement to help them improve their business too?
Yeah. So I'm sorry to disappoint, but I don't believe there is a secret sauce.
Oh, all right.
My secret sauce is all I've been talking about, over the last maybe 20, 30 minutes. I remember when I was a manager in the pharmaceutical industry, I used to say that you can't beat someone who's passionate about his job, right? If you're not passionate about it, your competitors are going to be better than you and you're not going to be successful. So maybe the secret sauce is to be passionate about it and being able to play every role. Like one day you're going to be the handyman. One day you're going to be the boss. One day you're going to be the driver. One day you're going to be the, and so on. So secret sauce, being on top of your things, spend enough time to understand the business in details, because if you don't do it in details, then you're going to miss, a lot of things. And other than that, a little bit of luck, a little bit of passion, and a lot of detail orientation type of, let's say.
You know, what's interesting is that a few guests have said, I'm sorry to say, there is no secret sauce. And without fail, just about across the board, those are the ones who've had the best secret sauces. I wrote down the quote. I loved what you said. I wrote down the quote. You can't beat someone who's passionate about their business. Like I love that. And kind of all throughout this, you've sort of made this distinction between investment, laundromats as investment and laundromats as business. And obviously for you, you want to go the business route and you think that's the best way to go. And because of that, you have this quote, right? Like you can't beat somebody who's passionate about their business. And, you know, and the other stuff is great too, but I really, really love that because I found that the most successful people that I've interviewed here on the podcast and that I've talked to, you know, off the podcast too, are the people who are passionate about the business. And they're the ones who, you know, are thriving. Their businesses are growing. They're able to scale. They're able to charge more, you know, all those things. So
and what's worked, worked for others is gain to passionate people. So yep. Nothing you can do, you know, against them.
Like playing with spreadsheets, right?
Right.
Like you love playing with spreadsheets. There are people listening to this right now who are like, that is my nightmare. I do not want to ever look at a spreadsheet ever. I don't even know what to do with it, right? But you are passionate about those spreadsheets and therefore...
No, I'm sorry about it, but I am.
Yeah. Hey, don't apologize for it. It's awesome. So awesome. Secret sauce, especially for there not being any secret sauce. Great one. We have another section called Pro Tips.
Pro Tips.
Mm-hmm. And Pro Tips is, hey, what advice do you have for somebody maybe who's trying to buy their first laundromat?
Do the math. Put numbers on a sheet of paper. Set up your expectation. What do you want to do with the laundromat? You want to be it as a side revenue? How much time you want to spend into it? Do you have like a side job? You know, all those are to be taken into consideration. So pro tips is set up your expectation and act accordingly. You know, not very specific, but very true to me at least. And again, you know, I feel very comfortable saying that because the expectation I had, you know, at first were very different from what I have today. So, you know, things are moving, you know, it's a moving target. So sometimes you feel like it's going to be only an investment or a side job and it ends up being a full-time job and, you know, something very different. But as long as you stay interested in it, passionate about it, then, you know, it's all fine. It's going to be cool. It's going to be nice.
Yeah. And I mean, you say it's not very specific, but I mean, it's key, right? And I do consulting calls all the time with people who haven't set up their expectations. And so they're like, hey, I want to go get a free zombie mat and I want it to cash flow $50,000 a year. I'm like, well, that's cool. I would love that too. But you know, your expectations, I love because you said set up your expectations, which is good in and of itself. Then you said, and act accordingly, right? Like that second part of it is key, right? That's so crucial because you can't have the expectation that you're going to get some business for free and that you're immediately going to cash flow $50,000 a year, right? You got to act accordingly. If your expectation is, I want to get a free laundromat and I want to make $50,000 a year. Okay, well, go get your free laundromat, but just realize what it's going to take to get to the point where you're cash flowing as much as you want to cash flow.
Right. And you learn very quickly that there's no free money. There's no magic, you know, like in any other business, I guess. Mm-hmm. But, you know, sometimes you hear, okay, how to make money with a laundromat, with non-attendee business, with spending 1 hour per week. That doesn't exist to me. Or if it exists, I'm going to give you my email. You can send me those opportunities.
That's right.
I don't believe in this. No, no.
You know, email me first and then I'll probably pass it along to you.
Right.
No, yeah. I mean, and that's true, right? Like I found that in business and investments, you either buy equity and cash flow or you build equity and cash flow. It's right. Not free either way, right? And usually it's some combination of both, right? Mm-hmm. You're buying and you're building. So you're absolutely right. There is no such thing as a free lunch there. Unless you're in the California school system, which everybody gets free lunch, apparently. I don't know. Okay. So, I mean, we are the Laundromat Resource Podcast. So let me just throw this out there. You know, what resources should people be tapping into, you know, to either get into the business or to help grow their business? What's the best resource you found?
Right. So my best resource by far was the fact that I met with this, you know, mentor. And to me, you know, it's been a way to open the door to this kind of business. So it's been key for me to decide to go into this business. But, you know, with time, I discovered that there's some very, very interesting resources, like, you know, the Facebook group that you talked about. You know, you see all the issues and the success stories that are happening out there. And, you know, it's a good way to learn. I would not hesitate to contact maybe laundromat owners, maybe in other towns, you know, so that you're not, you know, going to be a competitor to them, and talk to them. You know, people are very eager to open to others when they talk about something they like. So I would not hesitate to, you know, call randomly maybe and say, okay, you know what? I'm planning to buy a laundromat. It's not going to be in your neighborhood. And I'd like to talk about, you know, this. Would you have time to take a coffee or, you know, things like this? Otherwise, podcasts is, you know, is, and I started to make up the time and listening to your, the podcast you made. And I found it very, very interesting, very insightful. I believe there is, you know, some association like the CLA that can, you know, bring a lot of stuff on the table. I would attend at least one clean show. I think it's very interesting to see, you know, all the companies that are into this business, because you're going to have to deal with them, you know, at one point of a time. So I would do that. And, but again, I think the best way to be, you know, to keep yourself up to date is to have like a good relationship with another owner, or even, you know, those guys from AmperUp. They've been tremendous. You know, they gave me some tremendous advices, because they own laundromats, because they have like a lot of partners throughout the country. So they know what the issues are. And so to me, that was a real support when I have issues, or when I have, you know, things I want to discuss about. I remember I had a very good discussion with Alessandro about Google Ads, which I didn't know anything about. And I started to, you know, to advertise through Google Ad, and that's been, you know, very successful so far. So talking with people, keep a good network. That's to me the best advice. And then you have multiple resources like your podcast, like Facebook, like the association. That's, yeah, in a nutshell, that's what I would recommend.
Yeah. Well, what's funny about this? I mean, gosh, man, you're just good, so much good stuff. But what's funny about this is before the podcast we started, I was like, hey, I asked this question. Some people struggle with it. Should I ask it or not? And you're like, I don't really know. Best resource I've had is mentors. And then you just rattled off like 10 different resources for people. So I'm glad I asked. Anyways, very, very cool. Man, Mark, this has been an incredible episode. I've not only a ton of great information, but I had a lot of fun talking to you, getting to know you, getting to know your business a little bit. I know that people are going to get a ton of value out of this. And because you said, hey, you know, talk to other owners and, you know, to improve your business or to get in the business. If people have been learning a lot from you this episode and want to get in contact with you, maybe ask you a couple of questions, is there a good way that they can contact you?
I mean, how could I say no? Because I, you know, I've given some advice.
You set yourself up.
So, yeah, no, sure. I'm going to give you my email.
Okay.
You want my email now?
Sure. You want to say it now?
Oh, no. I'm going to send it to you. And then
okay. I'll link it. So his email address will be in the show notes. And if you're on YouTube, it'll be in the description there. So you can go grab it there, get in contact with Mark. And this is, man, incredible episode. Thank you again. Such an honor to have you on. Really, really appreciate you taking the time. And we're gonna have to stay in touch and keep chatting, because I love what you're doing. I love the way that you're thinking about this business. I love the way, you know, the amount of work that you've put into learning this business and doing it well. Very, very impressive. And thanks for sharing all that today.
Thanks for having me, Jordan. Thank you so much.
All right. What a cool episode with Mark. I mean, there was so much in there, like a lot. He like really packed it in. And man, it's It's one of my favorite episodes. It's very cool. So thank you again, Mark. What an honor to have you on. Really appreciate it. Man, every single week I tell you and I plead with you and I plead with myself, hey, let's pick something, one thing, and put it into action this week, because it's the action that's going to help us achieve our goals, lead us to the success that we are looking for. So pick something, anything from this entire podcast. There's so much to choose from. And this week, commit to putting it in action. He gave advice for everybody, from somebody who's looking to buy their first laundromat to somebody who owns multiple and a pickup and delivery. I mean, there's so much good stuff in there. So it should be easy this week. For me, there were two things. I don't know. I try not to do two because I want to make sure I'm taking action, but I loved two things that he said. Number one is had to do with mentors. He said that way in the beginning, and he said, find a way to make it a win-win situation for you and for the mentor. You know, don't just ask for someone's help, for someone to invest time into you, for someone to give you their hard-earned wisdom and knowledge for free. Go find ways to add value to them. And I'll just say, I mean, they may not even know how you could help them. But that's where you can really shine, is if they don't even know what you can do for them, go find a way to do something that helps them either in their business or in their life or whatever the case may be. Find a way to make it a win-win, and that will lock in a solid mentor for you. So find a way to do it. So I love that. And, you know, as I think about where, you know, I'm growing both in my laundromat business and laundromat resource and all that, I'm looking to see, okay, who can help me take my business to the next level? And then the next question, thank you, Mark, will be, what can I do for them to add value to them? So I love that. The other quote, or I wrote down a quote that I really loved, and maybe this isn't really an action step because I'm not really sure what action there is to take, but he said, you can't beat someone who's passionate about their business. And I loved that for laundromat owners. I know a lot of you guys are super passionate about this business. And if you're not, then hey, maybe it's time to, you know, cut things loose and find something you're passionate about so that you can't be beat, because you're going to be swimming upstream if you know, aren't passionate about the business and are competing against people who are passionate against the business or about the business. I love that. And, I love what I'm doing here. I love doing the podcast. I love doing the YouTube videos. I love doing the blog. I love doing the weekly live webinars every single week with you guys. I love just everything that's going on over here. And super passionate about that, super passionate about helping you find financial freedom through laundromat ownership. So just wanted to share that with you. All right, guys, you guys go out there and kill it this week. And let's meet back here next week and share in the victories of the action steps that we said we were going to take this week. All right. We'll see you next week or at whatever the next thing is, you know, the webinar. Go to the webinar, how to sell your laundromat for the most money with Andrew Cunningham, Thursday, October 21st. If you missed it, because it's already passed, you can get access to that and all the webinars we've done at laundromatresource.com/join and join the pro membership, and you can get access to all the past webinars. All right, guys, we'll see you whenever. Peace.